hopefully helpful session called From the Small to the Big Mind. What do we mean when we say small mind, and what do we mean when we say big mind? Is it two minds? No, it is one mind, but they think differently. A small mind often goes from the prayer's perspective. What is immediately in for me? And the big mind usually can see a bigger picture. I would like to give you an example. I have a problem with dentists. When I was a child, I think the dentists were not very merciful to me and inflicted more pain than it was necessary. And even when I'm now older, I tend to avoid going to the dentist. I have many excuses why it is not necessary, but if I am perfectly honest, I believe I remember the time when a dentist drilled too deep, and as a child I was biting into his hand until blood came dripping out of his hand because it was so painful. And this memory, to go to the dentist is a painful experience, has made me avoid many dentist appointments, because the immediate experience is pain. And often, as when we are children, this overshadows the ultimate benefit of having healthy, shining teeth that bring you likes on Facebook. I hope I speak in a modern way here. There are many examples, and we will hear a few of them, how the small mind looks for immediate pleasures, but the big mind sees what is good in the long term. There are examples how the small mind looks for cheap fame. You want to be known and praised in human society, but the big mind looks for truth. There are examples of how the small mind looks for quick successes, but the big mind looks for a content life, a life that is blissful, that is true to one's dharma. Now to make the choice that brings you from the small to the big mind, especially in times when it's difficult, like getting up in the winter. A small mind says, sleep a little longer, you deserve it, especially if you have a warming bottle in your bed. The big mind says, well, if you can get up and go to your altar and enter the divine and higher connection, that will be good on the long term for you. Not, but what brings you especially from the comfort-seeking mind to the ultimate good mind? That we will discuss today in our little session. I hear there's one of my smallest audience who is a little bored. Let's try maybe for 5 more minutes to see if the child can be peaceful, and if not, then we need to play with the child for the outside, no? Now, something I want to say, which is perhaps something for all of us to contemplate. You always become lesser than yourself each time you are greedy, egoistic, and hunting for small immediate pleasures. I think you all know this. When you have binged on entertainment, then then it's already 5 o'clock in the morning, and you think, "Oh, I don't want to look into my face in the mirror any longer. I'm just such a weak person." Or I have noted some Pandavasenas have scaled down on kilos and extra kgs. And I think you know when at the time when you were not able to do this and you had eaten just too much, and already the pimples come in the face and the pus is leaving you and your breath is as intense as 50 graveyards, you know, and how they smell when the graves are open. Then you feel, I really have no respect any longer for me. This is too much. Or if you have done egoistic and sexual behavior, or if you have done lonely man's show, you know, and all these things, you feel you have degraded yourself. You have gone below you. So each time when you are acting on, not each time you act on prayers, we sometimes need to relax and so on, but if we do it from the small mindset, the greedy mindset, these things, eating, relaxing and so on, then we lose. We lose and we feel it. We become weakened. It's as if we let our blood go out into the out of a wound, and we become less strong. Do you know what I'm talking about? You know. No? We don't need to give such high un-Indian examples, which are so blunt, to understand the point. You always become lesser than you are each time you make these small decisions. I need to say it again because this is not always understood. You can make decisions to be comfortable when it comes from the big mind. I need to relax. I need to strengthen myself. I can't always be too, you know, like this. You can work for your success if you don't do it from the small mind, where you are anxious and you overrule and exploit others. You can go for wealth even if you come from the big mind, where you want to create something in this world that has a lasting effect. But if you come under the small mind which is selfish, that is not expensive in seeing the need and the benefit of others, then these things can become your undoing and degrade you. Therefore, the very easy process, and we will work on this a little bit, is you first need to really understand what's the difference between prayers and shreyas. And once you have understood this, once you and you can recognize when the prayers are small mind acts and when the big mind kicks in, you will be very inspired in your life. So let me go through a list now with you. What's the difference between prayers and shreyas? First of all, the meaning. The meaning of prayers is that which is pleasant and enjoyable immediately, like food or any type of material pleasures. Shreyas is thinking what is beneficial or ultimately good, as when we are devotees, for the soul, my spiritual upliftment. These two mindsets, the small and the big mind, or the prayers and shreyas oriented minds, have also different natures. The prayers mind goes for instant gratification, often satisfying the senses or the ego in a short term. I want to speak about the ego. You know, when you're in a discussion with someone, often, at least when you are male, I don't know if the females have the same, you want to, when you come into the prayers mindset, you want to show that you are right. You want to show that you are perhaps better. You want to show with the pictures on your mobile telephone that your holiday was much, much more successful than that of the other. The nature of prayers or the small mind is always the small, or what we say in Krishna consciousness, the false sense of identity, the false sense of the ego. The nature of prayers or big mind decisions is usually that it may not be easy or pleasurable in the moment, but it leads to lasting fulfillment, liberation and alignment with our higher nature. I would like to give you the example of exercises. To make 10 push-ups is sometimes the worst thing you can imagine. Or to prepare for a lecture, or to read a book in order to draw the essence out and use it in your professional life or in your spiritual life is difficult, but in the beginning, but it leads to a lasting fulfillment when you do this. No, you feel more enlivened, your body works, you're more awake, you're more sharp when you do those exercises. You can engage in meaningful conversations and not suffer in these superficial conversations which don't satisfy the soul, they don't satisfy anyone except your ego when you are a good chatter and a good like this. Yeah, I want to give examples which you will easily recognize. A prayer's mind set looks for comfort, for indulgence, for status, how will others see me, for success and for material pleasures. But when you can leave the small mind, the myopic mind, my dear everyone, you will think, how, let me improve my spiritual practice. Yes, let me practice some self-discipline. Let me connect with what is true, for what is devotional, and make my decisions from the platform of the soul. What is good for my soul, no? For my spiritual life. There are consequences for acting in the small mind, the prayer's mind, and the ultimate mind, the ultimate mindset. Prayers, decision and choices often lead you to entanglement, for instance, a young, I will say something which may help be helpful for you. Young people eventually look for partners with whom they can share their life and who can support them in life. But if you only look for the physical attractiveness, for instance, often, and there is nothing deeper than that, often you end up in very entangling situations. You have a child, but there is no love any longer between you because the physical attractions are gone or are boring because you have seen and done this very often, this superficial sense gratification. Prayers-oriented life makes us distractive. We often suffer when we do it at the expense of deeper values. And again, I must say this because I'm talking to you as an elderly person who has who lives a life that is as modest as possible, and who has a simple wristwatch and so on by his choice and so on. You can go for a bigger wristwatch, a better mobile telephone, and so on. If you ask the question, or if you put this in the context of doing your service, for instance. I remember once our little Gora Bhavan, we had invited some more people, traveled to India, and there was one person with us who is known to give always presents. And so we went to check in our luggage, and this person said to me, "Wow, I have so many luggage pieces. Why do I always have so much luggage?" And I said, "Oh, I have a better question for you. What's in your luggage?" And he said, "Well, mostly it's presents for others." And I said, that is good. That is, you have collected, you have used your tendency for nice things in the service of others. This is very good. Shreyas-oriented decisions lead often to inner peace, wisdom, and ultimately to bhakti and the liberation from these material problems which come, bhakti moksha. So I think you get a sense of this, and if you want, I can imagine that Gokrishna can have this slide for you, and you can make a photo for it, and then when you go into life, you go with the list, oh, is this prayers or shreyas, and so on. I want to quickly come to the main question. How can we make these spiritually good decisions and choices in our life, especially when we are overwhelmed with we are human beings, you know, desires for good things and so on. I think it will become very clear. I want to say how. You need to emotionally connect with what is for your shreyas, what is for the ultimate good. And you need to feel that. Oh, I wish to do it. Oh, I like to get up because then I can chant and this will be good for me. Oh, I like and I can to eat less so that I'm more fit and don't need to sleep so much. And you need to feel a very felt sense of joy. Wow, then it's easy for you to do. If it's just a disciplined decision, it will not work on the long run. And you therefore need to make a connection on an emotional platform. And how to do this will become very clear. You need to know the pathway which brings you, or the meditations that bring you out of the small mind into the big mind. But I first want to give you an inspiring example of the greatest sense gratifiers, the greatest small minds in the cosmos, as far as I know, who were able to make a Shreyas-oriented decision after waking up to the need to do this, and after taking a path. I speak about Nala Kuvera and Manigriva. You must have heard about them. They are the sons of the richest man in the universe, who has the greatest enjoyment. It's Kuvera. These two sons, without any work, everything was served on them, to them on a golden plate, participated in the tremendous wealth of their father. They had the same access to sense gratification. They were intoxicated by liquor and false prestige and sexual enjoyment. I remember a scandal in Germany, was East Germany, when Germany was still divided. It became known that the leaders of the East German communistic country were enjoying parties. I don't want to go into the detail, but they drank and then they entered swimming pools with naked ladies and so on. This was the pleasure of Nala Kuvera and Manigriva. When I heard about this in the newspapers and people were getting all upset about it, I said, this is not new. This is in the Bhagavatam. So Nala Kuvera and Manigriva one day went, well, they did this often, they went to the Mandakini Ganga. On our ISKCON paintings, they still are dressed, but they were not dressed. And they enjoyed drinking, which brought down their inhibitions. And then they had pleasures with young ladies. Let our fantasy not go there. When they were having one of these parties in the midst of the Ganga, Narada Muni came by, and he could see they have an elevated birth. They could do so many good things with this birth, but they operate only from the prayer's mind. I must wake them up. He thought, I will remove the ignorance of these two demigods who are intoxicated by sweet wine. They are blinded by pride and wealth, and they are overly attached to women. I will do so. I will wake them up by cursing them to stand naked and neither move nor speak. They will retain the memories that once we were devatas and now we are trees, and they will lament about how they misused all their opportunities. But at the end of 100 celestial years, they will receive darshan of Krishna, they will develop prema bhakti, and they will attain their original spiritual bodies. I curse you, said Narada Muni after thinking like this, to come to the earthly world, to the planet Earth, and you will be trees, you will be naked like you are now, but at the end you will have darshan of Krishna. That will liberate you. So it is said sometimes a mother will pinch her little baby who is sleeping in order to feed the baby with sweet kheer. So in the same way, great souls who want the best of everyone will sometimes speak piercing words and make arrangements so that the souls can wake up. I met today a devotee who said to me, it's an old Pandavasena, who said to me, Maharaj, you need to pinch the Pandavasenas a little bit so that they wake up. I said, I don't like to do this. If it happens naturally, then yes. So they came down and they stayed for a long time in the Braj area. Krishna had not yet appeared, and they grew into really tall and ancient trees. So once, when Krishna had appeared, I think you remember the Damodar Leela, he had stolen so much butter that his mother chose to punish him and bind him on to a mortar. So when Yashoda was gone to do her household chores, Krishna looked at the two huge trees in the courtyard of his father's estate or place. Yeah, it was a small estate. And he thought, these two I can see are two devatas who wasted all their chances. But they have one good thing. They met my devotee Narada. And Narada blessed them that they would see me and would become liberated from that tree alive. I have personally no contact with these people. This was what Krishna thought. But Narada, my dear devotee, has contact. Therefore, I will show them my mercy. So he pulled the mortar behind him with great force. It got stuck between the two trees. And then with even more force, he pulled the mortar and they broke. They trembled severely first, these trees, and then they crashed to the ground. Now, the moment this happened, four personalities came out of these trees. Two you know already. Who are the two you know? Nalakuvera and Manigriva, yes. They came in their devata body. They were full of light and the whole space was liberated. It was, how do you say, lit up by the effulgence. But the two personalities, which I also did not know for a long time, who are not mentioned, were Nuni and Chamu. Nuni and Chamu were two demons who had received the curse. The boon. They had received the boon that no devata nor any human being could kill them. And they had taken shelter in those two trees. Now by breaking those trees, Lord Krishna delivered these two demons, Nuni and Chamu, as well. There is a secret lesson in this. When we become so oriented that we are doing anything and everything, impelled by our greed for this prayers, pleasures, success, money, and so on, we are ready to do everything. It's almost as if we are no longer ourselves, but demoniac mindsets take over our thought. You know this when someone corrects you and says, "How could you do this? How could you say this?" And if that person is someone who's close to you, oops, you feel, "I don't know, I was not myself for a moment." No, so this is happening when you are, but not in ordinary cases, when you are really, really overdoing it. So when the trees crashed down, these two devatas emerged from the trees. They lit up the four directions with a beautiful effulgence on their body. And then these two effulgences were mixing together like two flames of a fire. It became so bright there. And they spoke an important prayer, which will show you how they had transitioned from the old mindset to a new mindset. They were actually able to ask now for the ultimate shreyas, the ultimate benefit. The prayers are so beautiful that I want to sing them with you. Let us make some music here. Vani gunanu katane shravano katayam. Vani gunanu katane hasto chakarma sumanas tava padayona. Hasto chakarma sumanas tava padayona. Smityam shirastava nivasa jagat praname.
Smityam shirastava nivasa jagat praname.
Drishti satam dashanetu stu bhavatanunanam.
Drishti satam dashanetu.
Now, before we hear their prayer, let us remember the mouths from which this came. These were two people who were so dedicated to prayers, to what is immediately of value, that they had really gone beyond everything. They had gone into excesses which I believe only Hollywood stars would go into, who have money and a different value system because they live a different life. They are the same people who are now able to pray something that is so beautiful that devotees throughout the century have repeated their prayers. Can I read to you their prayers? Yes. They stood before the Lord, effulgent personalities still. They were in their devata bodies. Their hands were folded before their chest, and they asked him for blessings that were clearly coming from the soul's perspective. They asked, "From now on, my Lord, kindly bless us that all our words describe your pastimes." In other words, they wanted to speak about Krishna only. "From now on, my Lord, please bless us that our ears engage in oral receptions of your glories." They wanted to hear about Krishna. "May our hands, our legs, and our other senses engage in actions that are pleasing to you. And may our minds always think of your lotus feet. May our heads offer our obeisances to everything within this world, because all the things, all the people are also your different forms. They are you in different forms. No? The soul is part of Krishna. No? And may our eyes kindly see what they want to see. May our eyes see the forms of Vaishnavas who are non-different from you. They remember that something happened in their life that shifted their mindset from the small mind, from the prayers-oriented mind, to the big mind. Any one of you, do you have an idea what did this tremendous shift of mind? It's not an easy question, I admit. Krishna Charan?
Humility?
Humility, but see, they were in one mindset and now they're in one mindset. They didn't have any humility which brought them from this mindset to that mindset. Good qualities don't help us because we don't have good qualities at that time when we are in prayers mind, when we are in the small mind. What helped them, moved them on? Now please don't say they were intelligent or so. This doesn't work. You can't overcome the attraction to the prayers by discipline, intelligence, and by any. There are two things which help, but I will. I think it is a little subtle, and I also needed to really think and look at the Bhagavatam. Blessings help them. Blessings help them to make that shift. Therefore, in the morning in Gaudiya Vaishnavism, we always sing the prayers to the spiritual master. In Vedic civilization, it was known that each morning a person would go and collect blessings from elders, from guru or teacher personalities, because it's sometimes so hard when Maya binds you with her heavy ropes, you know, to get out of one mindset and go to the next. Blessings, good wishes of devotees who are superior to us can help us. And in their case, it were the blessings of Narada Muni. There is a wonderful verse which is there in the Bhagavatam where this is clearly said, and I want to sing this verse with you for, you know, it will do something nice to your heart. Sadunam samachittanam,
sadunam samachittanam,
sutaram matkritatmanam,
sutaram matkritatmanam,
dashanan nobavet banda,
dashanan nobavet banda,
pungsokshno savitujata,
pungsokshno savitujata.
Prabhupada translates this verse in a beautiful way. When, please read it with me, not loud, but in, follow along, please. When one is face to face with the sun, there is no longer darkness for one's eyes. Similarly, when one is face to face with a sadhu, a devotee, who's fully determined and surrendered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one will no longer be subject to material bondage. My dear devotees, no one likes to say he was as bad as Nalakuvera and Manigriva, but I was living a different life from what I live now. And I must sincerely say, I could not imagine to live the life of a devotee, because my attachments, my perspectives, my values were just so different. I admired this. I had read spiritual literature, but I thought, how? I'm a Westerner. How? Until I met Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada was kind to me. He chastised me severely. I had challenged him when I had the chance. I wanted to show that I'm superior and my understanding is better than his, and I challenged him. I can tell you at length at another time. And Prabhupada looked at me and he could see he wanted to give mercy to me, and he just so totally got on my case that in the evening I shaved up. I had very long and very nicely cultivated hair, but it was, I said, this, I need to surrender now my opulence. It was not very, my parents didn't give me that much money, but enough to waste my energy in my life, you know. And I just thought, this is it, I become a monk now. And not just for a few days. I will try for a year, and after a year I will see if I can pursue this path. The blessings, my dear devotees, are so powerful. Blessings are much more powerful than the strengths which you can muster up with your own discipline, your own intelligence, your mental strengths, and whatever you have. Now, this is now getting very interesting. The sun is dispelling darkness, my dear devotees, my dear listeners, but not if someone is blind. Then the sun can rise and the blind man is still in darkness. So you can meet devotees who are able to give blessings and well wishes, but if you are offensive towards them, the blessings will not work. Nala Kuvera Manigriva, when they met Narada Muni, they were not really offensive, they were just disrespectful, you know, they just continued on. But Narada Muni chose to still give them the mercy. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur makes the point, you can come to a powerful spiritual agent, but if you are offensive, the agent will not work. And he gives this in relationship to the holy name. You can chant the names of Krishna, who are Krishna personally, but if you make nama aparad, you will not be able to benefit so much as you could. No? I told you there are two things which can help you to make that shift of mindset, especially when you are challenged and think, everything in me says now, go for the prayers, go for the comfort, go for making your name famous in the world, go for the money by hook and by crook, but everything in you pushes you that way, but there is a little voice in you which says, I have come empty-handed into this world, and there's nothing in this world, nothing which the world can give me that I can take with me. The only thing which I can take with me is my purity of consciousness and my love for Krishna, or my Krishna consciousness, you know. So, but still it pulls so strong, especially in youth. Oh, the senses, so strong. I know, I was a young man also. And I come from an impious background, not like you, and so on. My dear devotees, my dear friends, and my dear skeptics. Yes, some of you have become skeptics. It's not possible. I have to stay on my present level. Maharaji, you can preach whatever you want. I will not move an inch. Yes, this is also there. My dear devotees, my dear friends, my dear skeptics, when you stand before a different, difficult fork in the road, will I go this or that direction? Remember who you are. Shift your identification from the ego-driven perspective, false ego, to the soul. Oh, I'm actually a spiritual soul. I do this because I'm in the position that sometimes devotees cook for me and make the most tantalizing preparations. I can't tell you what I eat, you know, when I come to England. It's sometimes 10 preparations, each one more tempting than the other. And I know that I'm now in this stage of age when I eat too much, I'm finished. So I stand before the meal and I ask myself the question, am I a North German sense enjoyer in this old age, or am I an eternal soul? And I tell myself, I am the same who have gone from childhood to youth and to old age. This is not the body. The body is different. It always changes. I heard every 7 years the cells change. I'm inside. I'm observing my life, and I'm the soul. And for my spiritual development, if I eat now these 10 preparations and I'm for 2 days finished, it will not be good. But that doesn't always help. So then I go to the second. I connect and align my consciousness with Krishna. I'm a divine child of eternity. I am invited by the Lord to associate with Him in eternal pleasure. And then I do the third thing, and all this we will do very soon. I will tell myself, I can eat a little bit more moderate. I wish to actually eat more moderate, and I will be highly rewarded when I do this. Now, I gave you the most harmless example I could think of. This same is eating. I think you are young, you should eat as much as you can, you know. It is different, but I wanted to give you an example that A is you know what I mean, because even though you're young, you sometimes suffer from wrong eating habits, but this refers to all the other pleasures that are degrading the soul. No, not all pleasures degrade the soul. No, they are very sattvic and good things. No. So the idea is to shift your consciousness by remembering who you are, remembering Krishna, and then telling yourself, if I do this, it will be very, very good. I want to give you another example. Who of you is not a morning person? Half of you. I'm also not a normal morning person. I never was early up. And before, my genetic codex says I come alive at 2 o'clock in the morning. But not after I have slept, after I have read literature. I'm an avid reader. I like to spend my nights reading if it's me. But I know I can't do my service very well. So once I have a bad sleeping routine, you know, then what happens is I'm tired in the morning, even when I have slept enough. But I know if I get up and I only need to do a few exercises, I'm wide awake. So in that morning situation, the body says, spend a little bit more time in this cozy, nice bed. But you know, I won't get my rounds, or nice rounds done if I don't do this. And I will have no morning program. And when I go through the day, I will just not feel that happiness and inspiration, but maybe a little mode of passion, that's all. So, therefore, when I am in bed and I don't want to get up, but I have slept enough, no, then I tell myself, remember who you are, Satchinandan Swami. connect and align your consciousness with Krishna and tell yourself, I can do this, I wish to do it, and it will be highly rewarding. This simple meditation has saved many devotees' life. Remember who you are, a spiritual soul. Shift your identification from the ego to the soul. Connect and align your consciousness with Krishna. I belong to Krishna. He is my Lord. And tell yourself, I can do this, you know. Give yourself an affirmation. Encourage yourself. You know? And I wish to do this. And it will be highly rewarding. My dear everyone, please turn to your neighbor now. You find a neighbor, first of all. I wait a little until you found. You can also find someone totally new. Did you find your neighbor? You seem to be lonely, Mataji. You have your neighbors, good, your partners. So, I wish you to explore this a little bit in a discussion. I must admit, I don't have it here. What is there? Can someone? You are sharing. What? I can't see it really. Nima, you can read very nicely. No, you went to say. No, here. Please turn to that we did already, and then explore. Some answers to the question, how is my relationship at the moment with Krishna? The second question, what could I really do to improve my sadhana? Don't say chant every day 64 rounds. It is realistic, you know. There is something you could add. And I think you know it. Do a little spiritual archaeology. Don't be lazy to dig a little. And third, what is the one positive attitude I could adopt for my seva? No? Please spend a little time, because you need to discuss this in order to get the idea of what this meditation on Krishna and this remembrance that you belong to him can do for you. You will see, as you explore this, there might be a little psychologically, like it's feels like a light that appears. Your conversation becomes lighter, and you begin to see, wow, there is a spiritual horizon waiting for me. Please start now. We don't have much time for this. Will be only 5 minutes. What? Point clear enough. My dear everyone, this is about shifting our mind and our emotions from what we could call a small mindset that will bring us small results to a big mindset. And I do know that there are many life hacks, and I'm looking forward to the presentation of Ghanasyam Priyaprabhu, who's very expert, who has really studied what we can do to change our state. That's how some will explain it, our inner state. No? Now, I would like to... and there are many things like, you know, breathing and waiting the desire out. It said when you have a strong desire that pulls you in one direction and you don't act on it and you breathe for 10 minutes, the desire usually goes like this. It is like this. It will become stronger, 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 and then the curve will fall down again, because the mind can't keep that high emotional intensity unless it is a desire that you most probably have to look on and act on your life in a sattvic way. No? But yes, there are many things, and I must confess to you, I'm also interested in this, but here I'm sitting before you and want to share with you what I do. Ultimately, there will be a little breathing and so on, and what I feel is a spiritual way to deal with it, and it works really. I want to help you enter the big mind by a guided exercise. What we will do is we will go through three steps. It's a meditation. I know some of you hate meditation because you are super active in your life. You can make if you are in that category, make an open eye meditation. Some feel really scared, I found out, to close the eyes, because then they have to confront the person they absolutely don't want to confront, that is themselves, you know. So good, if that is the situation, no problem. You can just go along, but what you need is you need to relax. Then I will ask you to contemplate a question, and finally there will be a reflection about it. Yes? So I invite you to sit straight but comfortably. Let me just find it, just maybe. It's sometimes good, those of you who prefer to sit on couches first class, but to sit straight, even if you take help of the best backrest. And those who don't mind to close their eyes, this is a good time, but you don't need to. Please relax your body a little. Let the shoulders drop. We carry a lot of weight and tension in our shoulders. Soften the jaw, you know, don't clench the jaws together. Move your attention to the forehead. And as you take a few calm breaths, feel the body relax. told us, relax him a little more. The jaw, make sure it is loose. Relax your forehead. And then in a gentle sweeping, attention sweep, go to your chest, where the heart is inside, no? Relax your stomach. Can become nice and soft. Your sitting bones, where you sit. Tell this area, relax. Upper legs and lower legs. While you do this, remain incredibly alert. Now do a few calming breaths in and out through your nose, and simply follow with your attention your inhale as air comes in, and when the air leaves you, you exhale. Follow with your attention your exhale. Few rounds of breath like this. I give you a little tip. Whenever you exhale, exhale a little longer than you would usually do, and this will deepen your inhale and your breath. When you're ready, let the breath return to its natural rhythm and sense the inner calm and the quiet as you're sitting here with these wonderful people, ready to go on an inner journey. On your next conscious inhale, follow the breath with your awareness and go into the space around the heart. You can try to see with your inner eyes the heart or the area of the heart. As you are in a peaceful set of mind, gently allow everything that is not you to slip away. Your job and the roles by which you act in this world, let go. For a moment, your plans and your goals, let go. Even your dreams and aspirations, for just a moment, let go. And even your relationships to others, let them go as well. And asked an important question. Asked it quietly, softly, curiously. Who am I really? Who am I? Not by the face the world knows me, but who am I? And more. who am I when everything that is not me is gone? Who am I in essence? For a moment, stay in that expanded state. Sense the spaciousness, the lightness, when you have unburdened from all the adopted things. From this space, go even deeper. Ask gently and let the answers arise naturally from within, not forced, not from thinking. What is my relationship to the personality who really matters? What is my relationship with Krishna? Is there anything I could do to improve my relationship, perhaps by sadhana, by prayers, by tweaking my life a little bit more in the direction of Krishna seva? And finally, is there one positive thing that would help me now where I am in my life to move forward towards my ultimate good, my eternal good, my eternal loving relationship with Krishna? What is my relationship with Krishna? What could I do to improve? Now slowly return your attention to your breathing. Breathe in and out consciously. Then very gently and slowly open your eyes and come back to room awareness. My dear everyone, this was a guided session, but you can go in your life through this session, similar sessions, perhaps more tailored to your situation, on your own. When you find yourself in a situation where you come to that fork on the road, and it happens so often in our days, where you have to choose Krishna, where you could choose Krishna and your ultimate goal, it's just good to stop a little and have that alone time with Krishna, no? Where you just, you can sit before the altar, you can also sit in the bus or wherever you are, and connect with your true self, the soul, And then with Krishna, and just asked. Maybe at the moment, not so many answers have risen from the subconscious mind or from the Lord himself in the heart. But if you do this, you will be guided by an inner GPS that is so much more ecstatic than Google's GPS. You will be guided by the Lord in the heart, who says it is from him where the knowledge and forgetfulness comes. Just practice it a little. You may have to clean the channel a little bit over the time. Maybe there's some calcium sticking on the inner walls. But if you do this, I can guarantee you from the experience of spiritualists throughout the centuries, you know, it really works. And through the experience, I can guarantee you by the experience of devotees, it will work. So I have covered my material. Hare Krishna. I'm very happy, but I'm a little sad because our time is up, and if I would go beyond the time, then everything else gets helter-skelter and problematic and so on. So if you have any questions, we will try it. Tomorrow is briefer, the presentation, and we can ask them. You can note them down and so on. But we are already over time, so I don't want to create problems for the other seminars. I thank you very much. I hope it is helpful for you. And please, if you forget everything, it's as simple as that. Stop, remember, and connect. Stop what you're doing, stop your anxieties, your worries. Remember who you are in essence. Beyond all these false narratives that your mind tells you all the time, and then connect with Krishna, and you will be able to withstand the power of prayers and emerge victorious on the side of Shreyas, of the ultimate good. Thank you so much. Have a wonderful day, and Hare Krishna.